And I'm Brian.
And this is R&B Talks.
Episode 105, Space Travel. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I thought about it.
Maybe a galaxy far,
far, far away. Well, why can't it be a galaxy that's, you know, just a little bit of ways away? Like, why can't that be something that's happening? Like, in a galaxy just a little bit of ways away. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
Oh my God, guys.
That's
not what I said.
Oh my God.
That's what that was a birthday gift for my wife. She said it's exactly what I would say and what I kind of do say all the time. She's right.
Reggie just turned 27.
That's right.
He's 27 years old.
I'm peak, bro.
You're pink.
Peak.
Peak.
Mm-hmm. Peak shape, peak.
Peak condition.
That's it.
You're hitting on all cylinders.
That's it. I'm on it.
You're like a finely tuned muscle car.
I got 12 cylinders and they're all going
strong. They're all clicking right now.
Oh, boy.
Clack, 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 clack.
Yeah, it's funny. I have, though, I've increased my intensity of my workouts.
So good.
That's cool. And not cool, but yeah,
it's cool, but it's not cool.
Okay. Look, so today, we're going to get into a little bit about, how, like, disagreeing without necessarily disengaging, right?
Step one, learn a good headlock. No, I'm just kidding.
Know some style of kung fu.
Yeah. Know the five-finger death punch. That's a quick way to end argument.
But, you know, I mean, because there's like, I don't know. I can't even. And I was trying to think of all kinds of examples of stuff from, because I know there's been tons where friendships have bailed or whatever over disagreements and stuff. And there's been several.
When I was going over this, though, my immediate thought was, should we define what's worth arguing about?
Well, it's going to be different. I mean, this is the thing. It's going to be different for everybody. And I look, because one person's importance is another person's meh, right? Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. But, like, there are some things. I think in today's world, partly why I want to do this is because this is difficult to do because people don't. Everybody thinks their cause is like the most important thing on earth. And there's like all this severity put on everything. And there's not a lot of room anymore to have an actual disagreement, or it's oversensitized or oversensationalized or everything else. I mean, you could pretty much say every daggone topic we run into these days is like that. It's crazy.
Well, I think part of it too is, there's a lack of ability to know when to disagree and when to just
exactly
just let something go. Like, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to have, and when I say disagreement, I don't mean argument. I'm not going to challenge someone's stance on something unless I feel like it's impactful. Like, if you come to me and you're like, I believe the sky is purple, I'm going to be like, good luck with that. You're right. I'm going to go home and not talk to you because you're weird. But there's, I think part of it too is this just need to argue everything, like, or I'm going to take what should be a simple and easy to solve disagreement and pull it into my political view and compare it to something so I can engage in a larger argument because I want to feel important and be able to communicate this issue. Right. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of fine tuning that goes on, but I mean, tell me, have you ever had tell me about argument that ended a friendship?
That's what I mean. There's honestly, in the political spectrum, this is talking about, and this wasn't the case until, see, you got to understand the era that we grew up in. We didn't have social media and stuff. I mean, like, you know,
we're Gen X. We didn't have any of that.
No, when I went to college and stuff, wasn't there. I mean, it's not like it wasn't progressive or liberal thinking or whatever, but it like wasn't in your face, and it wasn't like, you didn't even know, really. Yeah. I mean, when I was in school, like, I didn't think about any of that crap, right?
Yeah.
But later on, as I got into the workforce, but some of my other friends went in and stayed for masters and PhDs and stuff, they got, it seemed like there was some pretty significant differences that, that really started to diverge. And that was also by the time that, you know, the internet was flowing and social media got introduced and everything else.
Yeah.
So you really got that exploded pretty quick as far as like when that oversensitized environment, no, not a lot of anymore about disagreements. It was just more about this is the way it is or not. And so I've had, especially a couple friends of mine where I just held so dear, man. I mean, just so dear. And because of my own, and that wasn't just their fault. We disagreed about things politically and spiritually and everything else, but we'd always been that way. It wasn't like this was anything new, right? But somehow that got more severe as things got, technology got better, internet, social media, whatever. And so it got to the point where it's just like, they just, it's, and I will say I never, I wouldn't say never, because I'll say this. I don't recall being the one to like nip a friendship in the bud kind of thing. I don't think I've done that. I could be wrong because I get a little angry sometimes or a little wound up, but it seemed to be there was a point where they just like, no, we can't hang out with you because you have these beliefs.
I've shut friendships down. Like
legit. Well, I've let stuff go, but I'm saying I wasn't the one that told somebody, no, we can't be friends now.
I have.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I've been in a situation where I've directly had to tell somebody, you're out of line. And the things that you're saying the rhetoric you're spitting out is dangerous to me and my family. And I can't be near you anymore.
Yeah.
Like you and I can't be friends. Don't hate you. Don't, I'm not asking you to change. I'm just telling you that our time has ended. And I try to do it as politely as I can. I have one specific friendship that I can think of. There were some very anti-child, anti-marriage, rants and rampages and then challenges to my family. And at that point, I just put a hatchet in it. I was like, "Nah, dude, we're good." You know, appreciate the time we spent.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're done.
Was very vocal when I was young. Well, I know that seems weird because everybody thinks I'm really vocal now. I was more vocal.
When I first met you, you were more vocal.
You were
hyper vocal at times when we met. Not in a bad way, but you very much had your stance and you were sticking to it.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, and would not hesitate at all to just, it didn't matter where it was. If I didn't agree with what somebody was saying, I would say something, period.
Perfect example. Yeah. The barbecue chicken donut.
Barbecue chicken.
You were very vocal about how awful that was.
That was so terrible.
But anyway, one day we'll tell you about the barbecue chicken donut, but not today. Anyway, I don't, here's the problem I think we have. And I think this started back around when Obama first started to run for president. I feel like both Republican and Democratic parties oversold self-importance. Because Obama kept talking about when he was first was, I'm going to unify you guys and give you all your individual rights to do you and be you. And we got sold this bill of overimportance, and we bought it. We bought in hook, line, and sinker. And then the Republicans fell in behind it because they wanted to send the same message, but with a conservative twist. So they oversold the conservative self-importance side. And then it became this very toxic stew of, well, my truth. Cause you didn't start hearing things like my truth, you didn't start hearing that till Obama ran for office. And then all that stuff started kind of floating to the surface, those buzzwords and buzz phrases and things like that, that he was putting out there. And I think part of the reason we argue so much is we have been way oversold on our own self-importance. And we feel like we're constantly having to defend that. Like if we don't defend it, it'll get taken from us. And what we don't realize is our nature is to be self-important. And you didn't have to be sold that. You know, most people have either healthy or unhealthy boundaries on the, of their self-importance. And you can't really combine those two. What happened was that you just got combined with a lot of toxic buzzwords and a lot of pitting one group against another. And it's happening right now. I mean, if you look at it's really kind of wacky. If you look at what's going on, the rhetoric that's being talked about on television right now and on the news is, you know, well, if you're not part of this group, then you're not important. Well, why? Why is that group more important than any other group? It's not. We're all part of the same group. We're part of the human race, man. Get over yourself. But I think that's part of the reason there's so much argument and there's so many disagreements, because we for about 12, 15 years just got on a daily basis spoon-fed this porridge made of self-importance and told how all of our own individual truths and all of our own individual feelings were more important than anything else. Well, no, they're not. We live in community. Therefore, everything that happens in the community for the good of the community isn't going to happen for the good of some individuals. And we've somewhere along the way just lost that common sense lever, right? So,
yeah, I wouldn't disagree at all. I mean, the promotion of the self over sacrifice or over anything like that has been tremendous. I mean, even in the, that's bled into the Christian church as well.
Yeah, very much so.
And stuff too, which is a shame. But yeah, I mean, it's there's a lot to it, but you know, and that's, I guess that's part of why we would disengage from somebody too, is that we feel like our identity is being challenged.
Yeah. Or, right. Or they don't want to be labeled would be a good one. I don't want to be a lot of the reason why a lot of conservatives kind of bailed out during a lot of time was they just didn't want, we don't want to be canceled, or we don't want to be labeled, or we don't want to be, you know, grouped with this unpopular group of people.
Yeah.
Right. And then, I would agree with online dynamics. And one of the things that I think is a lot of arguments, like I've had texts where I've gone out where they've come back at me and I'm like, I sent you a text, man. This doesn't have any context at all. It was just like words. I didn't put like exclamation points or anything like that. And then they're like, well, what do you mean? Why would you say that? And I'm like, because it's just a text and nobody's really trying to get upset. And, you know,
I come across like, you know, the thing is, I don't, there's some situations, but they're kind of short and rare when I really want to be verbose. I mean, generally speaking, I'm kind of trying to be short to the point. And
me too.
You know, I mean, and it's not that I'm trying to, that short and to the point being a angry or pointed statement. It's really just getting straight to the.
Well, it's also part of wisdom.
You know,
the wisdom to know when it's time to speak on a topic, and the wisdom to know when this topic is not something I need to speak on right now. Right. And it's on all kinds of levels. It's with your kids. It's with your spouse. It's with people, you know, in public. With people you go to church with.
And this brings back the whole grid we came up with a few episodes ago, because I think this is what actually brought this about in my head too, the importance and uncertainty grid. Right. Because this helps judge whether or not it really matters. And I think for you and for anybody else that you're kind of thinking of, and I'll repeat it here. It's just, if it's high importance, high certainty, you stand firm and you hold your ground, right? Mm-hmm. If it's high importance, but low certainty, it's a, like, you got to really proceed humbly.
Yeah.
In that, if it's a low importance, high certainty, then it's like a teaching moment, yeah. Right? But it's not a harsh teaching moment. It's not a
crackdown.
No.
Yeah. Hey, maybe I can help this person.
Yeah. And if it's low importance, low certainty, it's a let it go.
Well, it's not, yeah. On top of that, I think one of the things I tell people too, you know, I said this the other day and I heard myself say it in a conversation and I felt like it was harsh at first, but then I kind of went through myself and did some self-checks and I was like, it's exactly appropriate. When someone starts getting off on something that doesn't have any value to either party and it's only escalating because one person's emotions are out of control, just shut the conversation down. Like, it's not worth, like, if you're hyped up about something or you've had a bad day and somebody says something to you and you take it the wrong way and then it starts to become this exchange, dude, just calm down. It's like the guy that yells at the cashier at the grocery store. Like the cashier has any power to do anything, but they're going to yell at the cashier because they're emotional and they're out of control. And I don't really buy into that.
But you're actually going on in a path through here. Hold on just real quick.
Yeah, I am. I'm sort of rabbit trailing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay.
But I think we all have to acknowledge our emotional state and understand where that is and what our tendency will be in that emotional state.
Yeah.
Cause you know, if I'm having a day or something, especially lately when I'm like kind of out of it or feeling tense or whatever, I know my interactions are not going to be
great.
Right. And I'm actually trying to avoid them because I know I'm not going to be able to like really do that. Right.
Yeah.
So I know that if I do get into a phone conversation or run into somebody or whatever, that I got to be really careful about what I say and how I'm listening and what all that stuff is.
How you present.
I mean, because I know my emotional state is compromised, right? Yeah.
Well, and I mean, like, I notice myself shutting down when I begin to get angry because I know if I'm starting to get angry or get hyper emotional in an argument, it's probably time to walk away from it.
Yeah.
And I would say you probably agree. When you feel yourself, when your temper or your emotions are getting the better of you, walk away. Well, just stop, man.
There's a time and place to get
angry.
I guess not even just angry, but like to allow that anger to influence what you're saying in a way. But you're still, this is where I think is important. Even when you're in that state where it's very important. It's a stand firm moment and you get a little torqued up about something. You're still got to present stuff in a clear fashion where it's not just anger, right? Yeah. Cause you still don't want name calling. You still don't want stuff like that to come out. If you're truly trying to, keep the relationship or remain, I don't know, keep their conversation going without getting too far out there. I mean, you still got to do that, right? So, and that's a whole skill set on in and of itself, to be honest.
Well, and another skill set is when someone is engaging with you, when someone comes into an engagement with you and they're already heightened, another skill set is to be able to recognize that and just say, you know what? I'm not going to do this right now. Like, I'm not going to feed. Oh, great example of this is, and I'm not trying to be political, but it's just a great example that I saw. We had a tragic shooting at a Catholic school, right? Kids got shot, kids died. Vice president and his wife showed up, flowers in hand, ready to go in and have a memorial for these kids. Some hard left guys began to say awful things. And I mean, horrible things to the vice president and his wife. And I was so impressed to see them not turn, not acknowledge, not just simply continue on mission. And that's not a political statement, but that's just an example of when someone's out of control, what are you going to fix? You're not going to fix anything. So just treat them like scenery. You're just scenery at that point.
I mean, Vance has come out swinging.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at his Twitter stuff, I mean, he hasn't, and I appreciate it. Now, I don't know if I like the word selection sometimes, but he does
get rowdy.
Yeah. but at least it's firm, but
yeah.
So before we get into some of that, cause some of that is later on a little bit, there's five habits of a sturdy disagreement.
Of a sturdy disagreement, not a flappity disagreement, nope. But a sturdy disagreement.
Well, and so some of this comes from, some of the apologetics stuff I've read. Some of this is, you know, I got from looking at things over a period of time, and some of it's just a suggestion from AI. Which, but I'll tell you the one that is a good first step in a disagreement is the curiosity first, and that is ask a clarifying question first. Right? You want to make sure that you are understanding and really clear about what the standpoint of whoever, whatever it is you're arguing with or having a disagreement with, whatever you want to call it, right? It's critical. Start there first.
Okay.
And it could be clear, but you just maybe restate it.
Well, it's also a very effective way to end some arguments, because when somebody says something ridiculous and you go, let me make sure I'm clear about this, and you repeat that ridiculous thing back to them, a lot of times they're just like, yeah, you're right. Like, I should have said that. That's dumb. But I agree. You always want clarity, because a lot of us, our first trigger is to assume we know what's going on and go after it. So just take a minute and be like, okay, so let me make sure.
Sometimes I'm clear. A pause is your best friend.
Yeah.
Giving space is important. Clarity. You must be clear. And let's say even if they're clear and you've restated their opinion or whatever, then you need to be cleared back. And it's not a monologue. Let's talk about this. This is kind of debate 101, really. You don't want to have a long, drawn-out monologue in most cases. Now, if you're talking a true debate, sometimes that's not the case. But for this, when we're talking about just having a disagreement with somebody you don't want to disengage from, just make your stance like clear. One sentence, and it's like done. Don't have this whole diatribe of your view on War and Peace or something.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Right.
But I like number three. Restate their view fairly. Steel man the argument, right? Like, don't when we hit those first two points, so if the time of the third one comes around, we're usually ready to dismiss and go after it, right? Like, but take a second and be like, all right, so now that I'm clear and you're clear, let's restate what the argument's about so we're both clear and that we can make sure that we both have an understanding of where we're going in the argument. Because a lot of times language counts, right? The way you use words counts. And sometimes when the way you would use language may not be the way that I would use language, and it can be misinterpreted. So stating that argument clearly again and fairly, steel manning the argument, is a great way to keep the temperature low, right? Like, all right. So,
because you're making, they both of you will appreciate if either one of you agree,
yeah,
and how they understand what they're saying,
yeah,
right? It's a point where you have a position of agreement in this disagreement, right? It's like, okay, I've stated, is that true? Yes, now you got a positive,
yeah,
in a potentially negative environment, right?
Yeah,
And that's critical, because you don't see, that's the thing. We'll get into this in a minute. I'm going to get off on another trail, but it's important. This goes along with the boundaries that you're going to set.
Yeah.
Okay. So like these social media comment wars, they don't do anything. Yeah. It's very rare where you go comment by comment by comment and you actually like it's productive.
Yeah.
It's usually not. It's usually circle, 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 word salad, circle, circle. It doesn't go anywhere. It
doesn't create anything.
No.
And on top of that, stay away from text arguments. And the reason that you stay away from text arguments is it doesn't have any context, but people are famously good at putting context into things.
No, sure they are.
And it can
insert their own.
Yeah, it can become very... It can be one-sidedly divisive, right? Like you might be on the other side just being like, oh, well, cool. I'll just text it out and let them. And they're on the other side like, you son of a bitch. I can't believe you say that. And you're like, and you have no idea the fire that's on. You're just simply on your end thinking, oh, this is just a simple. And it's not. I've had that happen before. I've had people like not talk to me for weeks and then be like, I can't believe you sent me that text. And I'm like, what text? I like pepperoni pizza. I like pepperoni pizza. And you're like, you know how I feel about animals. But no, I don't know. I just don't like pepperoni pizza, bro.
I know. Like, I mean, but this is the thing though, man. I mean, like I think this is where, and this is one of the areas where I've really tried to put it in effect. And even though I've been really bad at this, but I'm not engaging that much anymore. And I'm choosing these a little better, and I am getting better at it. I think you got to, but
I'm actually getting ready to shut off my Facebook page and create a new one, because I got into this phase where I was letting people in, and I kind of lost track of some of the people that I let in, and these argumentative people started coming in, and I was like, get out. And I booted them out, which caused even more problems, because then other people were like, why'd you boot my friend out? And I'm like, and I'm just like, you know what? I think I'm just going to wipe it and start over again and be really careful about who I let in. So, but repair, that is a good one. Repair. If you start to, if it starts to get crazy, stop for a second and remind each other why these points are important to you and what you're actually debating.
Right.
Right. Like, right. I'm not debating the fact that I think you're wrong. I'm debating point for point. Your point is this, my point is that. And recognize that even though you may completely disagree with that person in this debate, that is an important point for them to communicate. Right. So, yeah.
So the context here also matters, because this is this is important. This is critical, and you have to do this. Like it, and I separate these out for three different categories, right? Because mm-hmm. I thought they pretty much cover a lot of things, except there is one called family that I didn't get into here, but it could probably be at the same. It's probably the same as the friendships, pretty much. But friendships, church, and online, right? Mm-hmm. So consider if this is a friendship you value and you're trying not to disengage and but you have a disagreement, mm-hmm. you got to understand you got to look at the person first, not the actual point.
Yes.
Right. Do stuff more in person or over a phone call rather than text or something. Mm-hmm. And always have a next point of contact, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to let that go necessarily. Then you're maintaining your friendship, and you're focusing more on that friendship and on the person rather than the actual point that's trying to be made, whether or not that point is whatever. Now, I will say this is where you get into some gray area about when you really get into things where it's a high importance, high certainty thing mm-hmm. for you. So in other words, for me, at this point in my life, there's not very many really high importance, high certainty things that I have that I would rank.
Yeah. That I'm willing to go that hard at.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the deity, and definition of the gospel, the deity of Jesus, the stuff like that. I mean, like they're things like that, right? We're going to have a problem there.
Well, and I think a subtext or subcategory of this is going to be know where your friendships lie.
Well, and how do you define your friend?
How do you define your friendships? I know where my friendship with you lies.
Well, we've talked about this.
And you and I, we don't agree on everything.
No, no.
But also, if I look at you and say, Reggie, I think... If I say something like, Reggie, man, that's your ego. Let's talk about that. Or Reggie, that's not right. Or I don't think that's right. You and I can actually have a civil conversation, sip coffee, and at the end, talk about the next time we're going to go chill and hang out. Right.
Because, but again, we would handle this with the friendship first.
Because there's a level of respect as well.
Well, yeah, but I'm concerned about you.
Yeah. And you as well.
It's not the point,
though. But what I'm saying is sometimes, a lot of times, people will project their feelings onto a friendship, and it's not a mutual thing. And in that situation, referencing what we're talking about in friendships, when you're in a situation where you think something might escalate, if you're just an acquaintance of mine, you don't get my time like that, right? Like, I'm not going to stand here and I'm not going to throw blows with you over this, verbal blows. I'm just not going to do it. Because you obviously don't know me well enough to know how to approach me. And secondly, in my life and in my existence, you earn that privilege, right? And you haven't earned it. But a lot of people, like, I've got a lot of guys that I've heard them say, oh man, we're really good friends. And then I'll talk to the other guy and he's like, man, I don't know him hardly at all. And I'm like, man, you got to be careful, because when you enter into an engagement with somebody, it can cause a lot of you can feel a loss on your side that the other person doesn't feel. And that can end in some hurt feelings and problems with that engagement, and can end in some, you know, harsh words and things like that. So it's also a kind of a subcategory I would tell people is from time to time, take stock of the relationships in your life, right? Because sometimes you'll say, I'm going to be honest with you. I use the word friend very, very carefully because that has meaning to me.
We've said this before, yeah. Right? And we agreed on that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't have that same mindset.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. A lot of people, everybody.
And I think that's what we got to, me and you have to differentiate that a little bit because we know how we classify that, but some people won't. Because there is a thing called an acquaintance.
Yeah.
It's yeah. still a thing.
It's still a thing.
You know?
And a Facebook friend ain't a friend.
No. Not necessarily. You can have a friend that is a Facebook friend. Yeah. But not, you know.
But if you met somebody on Facebook and you've never met them in person, I hate to break your heart, but that's not a friendship.
Yeah.
That's a person that you're looking to help you make yourself feel better about what you're thinking. And that's not a good thing.
Now, church.
Yes,
so sir. let's say we have a disagreement in church with somebody. Well, there is an outline in the biblical text about how to handle that.
Yeah.
But think about a Romans 14 kind of posture with all that kind of stuff. Look it up, read it. It's good for you.
Very eye opening.
But it's more like, you know, you really got to dig into like where this is coming from, whatever the perspective is. What I mean, a good example of this is the criticality of baptism. This is some Christians will go to, I mean, they'll go to blows over what you think about baptism.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of them where you could really have you go use that grid. Is that highly important? Is that high?
There have been churches that have fractured down the middle and split over what time in the service do we do communion?
I mean, you know, so I mean, look, there's some, you just got to use what we're saying here yeah. for these guys. But in church, there's actually a way and we, you know, I meant to make a note of this. There's a bunch of verses, but maybe I'll reference that in the comments, maybe not. But yeah, look at Romans 14 first, because that's really what's important.
Well, also remember too that when you're in a church, a lot of people are putting on their best face while they're there. So I tend to take that into consideration a lot of times because for me, you get what you get. Like I'm going to come in, I'm going to be me. It is who I am. I mean, you might hate me. Like I remember one day I had a guy to church one time. He's like, I went to church and I was wearing this. I was wearing tennis shoes and sweatpants and a t-shirt. I was wearing a ball cap. And he's like, do you respect the traditions of the church and presenting your, and I was like, Jesus wore a raggedy robe. Shut up. I'm here. Like, right. Like I'm doing my thing. Don't harsh my gig with your manly traditions. Just get on with it. But you got to remember that I'm not telling you to tread lightly. What I'm telling you is to be more aware of those relationships within the church, because a lot of those relationships are relationships in church, but when they get outside of church, they're not really relationships. So be careful how much scorched earth you're willing to leave when it's not really a relationship to begin with, right? So, but online, let's talk about online. This one is the most interesting one to me of all of them.
Yep. But you already kind of got into this a little bit when you said a Facebook friend is not a friend. And I mean, that's true because you just because someone's met you online and had a few conversations and thumbs up, I mean, doesn't mean you like buddies.
Yeah. Right? And it also doesn't mean that you're on the same page about
everything. No, it doesn't at all.
Well, right? And also remember too that keyboard bravery is the easiest kind of bravery. Like I've actually had people that I'm friends or I won't say friends with, but we're long-term acquaintances who I thought I was starting to think they might have some rationality to them. And then I give them a Facebook invite and then they just start just dropping ignorance. And I'm like, what happened to you? Like, are you loony? And then I unfriend them. And then that causes more problems because they're like, why'd you unfriend me? I was like, because you're a lunatic and there's something wrong with you and you shouldn't be posting stuff that.
I have unfriended some people just because, no, I'm not going to stand in that nonsense. But I think I had to ask AI a little bit about like some boundaries here because, like, you know, I can say like, how many, how many back and forth should you have really in a conversation before you disconnect and go to something else or whatever. And so I had this is straight up from AI. So what I would do is take the this stuff about the online like limits and everything with a sense of approximation. Okay. So three reply maximum is one boundary for an online kind of conversation. I don't even think it could, you could be one or two there, or even, I mean, it go, if you're asking questions and actually doing stuff, maybe four, but I'm just saying there's around that point where that's all that it really needs to go, period. And if you want to take it farther than that, then it goes to a direct message or even a phone call or something if you can or want to. And this is where I think that for me, I don't want – there's many times any of these disagreements I'm having, if they're online, which it rarely are anymore, it's not even that important for me. It isn't. I realized after the first comment that I put in there, you know what? I really didn't want to get in the middle of that. And I just want to disengage, yeah. You know? And I think – And that's fine. But sometimes, if it depends on the topic, sometimes though, you don't assume there's a good faith effort being going on with or good intentions. Mm-hmm. When there is, it's just misguided or maybe whatever from your standpoint. And so you might come off a little strong because you're thinking of a more serious. Like yeah. This person's,
which goes back to context,
it
right?
It does. You can't put context into things. Now, you might know some context or whatever, but I think this is where the questions come up and you have to clarify some things.
Well, and on top of that, if you've had previous conversations, say this is a person you know and you've had previous conversations, then you might be able to assume some context in that conversation. But most of the time when I see something, you know, just randomly posted on one of my comments or something like that, and it's negative, it's a complete and utter misassociation to what I was saying. And a lot of times when you go in and you reply to that and you frame what you were saying and give them the context of what you were saying, they usually don't respond. A lot of times because they're embarrassed. I got on there and scorched this guy and then he just broke me down and now I'm not going to respond because I don't know how to respond. Right. So, but that would also go to, you know, if you want to avoid a lot of arguments on Facebook, be concise and be clear with what you post. I see a lot of vague posts go up where I'm like, I don't necessarily have any idea what that means.
Or if you rope in every time or you use all these or it's like you make these bold and group and just blanket statements, right? Yeah. That cover, those are usually not great. I mean, you know, not that I'm saying all of them are wrong, but I mean, you know, especially when you're, especially political stuff though anymore, they're trying to make us be this way. And I think this is really why I've pulled back a lot. It's because I just don't want to participate in a divisive atmosphere that's being
created. I don't want to fight. Like I'm not doing it.
No, I mean, and I mean, this is even why I've reached out to some people that have unfriended me before, just seeing if they wanted to reconnect. Not because I want to get on and argue, but I'm just done doing that.
Yeah,
and playing a part in that system.
It falls back to a conversation that you and I had a little while back. I think in my older years, what I've learned is, I need to really work on handling my relationships differently, right? Like when we were younger, oh, scorched earth, bro. Let's go. Give me my battle axe and let's go in war, right? But now I think back on some of those people and I'm like, I could have handled that so much better. And I've done the same thing. You've kind of inspired me. I've kind of texted some people and been like, hey man, I haven't spoke to you in a while. Really, really sorry that we disconnected. Would you want to go get coffee? Right. Haven't heard back from any of them. I'm not saying I will, but it's just one of those things where we, as you mature, you start to realize like, yeah, I probably didn't handle some things very well. Right now, there are some things I'll die on that hill. I will die on it. And I'll do it with my hand in the air, with my finger up like this as I'm dying. because there are certain things that within me are set in stone.
See,
but it's very rare that I run into a need to have to go that far.
Well, right? not just to go that far, but like even if it is one of those things, it's like there's a lot of things where we can still hang out. And unless you're like actually combative and actively working against a
civil relationship
or something, or like, for instance, if you're a Satanist or something,
yeah.
Right? A friendship acquaintance, yeah. Yes, but a friendship, no, right?
Well, one of those things I'll tell you is, you know, my grandfather used to say this all the time, and I use this phrase very carefully, but you lie down with dogs, you get fleas. So I tend to not let influences into my life heavily that I think could pull me away from the core of what I am. Doesn't mean I can't sit at the same table and have a meal with you and be kind. Doesn't mean that I will dismiss you or be mean to you, but you're participating in things that could hurt my walk, what I'm trying to build within myself. So we're probably not going to spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
But, so, and that's okay. That's actually okay. Cause I mean, it's been that way since we were kids. Remember, you lived on the street and your grandmama always said, there's that weird dude lives at the end of the street. Don't be going to his house. Well, grandmama knew that he was weird and you shouldn't be going down there. Right. So I think we have some grandmama instincts, but that's okay. So let me ask you a question, Reggie. And this is kind of a sub question that's not on here. And it's, I actually thought of this question as I was reading through. What are some red flags when you're in a discussion to know when to kind of bring the temperature down? What would you consider some red flags? Not from you. If you're in this discussion and you feel that person on the other side starting to heat up, what would be some maybe red flags in the conversation that could help you keep the conversation from hitting that spot?
Okay, so if I hear somebody start being more general and more blanket with statements.
Yeah. Start trying to cover everything in one sentence.
Then I think that it's going in that direction. Or if it's the severity of something, I think is like way too much.
I find if they come in hard on the first statement. Like if you ask me a question and you come in, like Evel Knievel jumping the Grand Canyon, we're probably not going to go down the road with this conversation because you're already at a level I'm not willing to go to. So I'm probably going to calm the conversation down and try to change the subject.
Yeah. I'd say also, in addition, they start almost pointing as you are.
Yeah.
You know, they start trying to classify you into something.
Yeah.
If it really feels like it's getting off the point of actually the issue, but into a
personal attack,
then we're not.
Another would be if they're trying to pull you into another is, and this is, I've seen this a lot, is if you're trying to pull me into personally attacking you. I bet you, I hear it all the time. I bet you think that's terrible. I don't really have an opinion, man. Like, I don't know enough about it to form an opinion, but they're trying to bait you into saying something to give them a reason to escalate. And you can feel those in a discussion, right? Like, I can tell when two people are talking about a subject and you're listening to them and they're really having a generally open dialogue with each other. And it's very give and take. But you can also tell when it's a lot of it you'll see with reporters where they'll come in kind of lean and then they'll drop this statement that's like a bait statement to try to get that gotcha. And at that point, I just kind of stop. I either say, you know what, it's probably best that we don't talk about this, or I end the conversation, or I try to steer the conversation in a different direction. Cause it's not, when I hear that bait, that tells me there's malice in the conversation that you're having. And I don't want to be a part of that conversation.
You also got to look and think about the words they're using. If it really sounds like they're echoing the propaganda, mainstream media stuff, then it's
dangerous.
Yeah, you're talking about an indoctrination at that point.
Well, and this is something that I would tell our friends on the hard left and the hard right. Do your homework, right? If you're just out there trying to start debates without facts, you look like a fool. I don't care who you are. I see it happen on the Republican and the Democrat side all the time. They come to this or they come to that, or and they'll say something that's either half factual or just blatantly unprovable or untrue.
You mean the RFK Jr. Senate?
Oh yeah, thing? Elizabeth Warren just basically vomited lies for like 8.5 minutes, but that's okay.
Sorry,
but I mean, and it's okay. I get it. You want to win. You're not going to that way, though.
Well, see, this is this is where I want to make a complete distinction here about the way the political circus is at the moment is not that is not your example of how to debate or solve problems. It is not. I want to make this very clear for a bit that this is not. This is why our government isn't functioning really that well and hasn't and will not until we get this environment of nonsense out of the picture. We're back to the issues and stuff. Yes. These are all tools to distract from issues and get things off and all these other tangents so that they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And I just want to make sure people understand this. You will never, if you mirror the example that the politicians have set, if you watch C-SPAN and you listen to how they speak and all that stuff or debate and all that kind of, that is not how you do it.
Yeah. That's actually not debate. That's benign arguing.
That's political. It's political circus.
Benign arguing. And here's the problem that you have while you're paying attention to, you know, the Republican and Democrat crazy people doing their little dance and shaking their things and screaming and hollering. Behind them in the actual building, things are going on that you don't want to be going on. And they know that. And that's why they're having 100 hearings a month and distracting the public by posting them publicly so you can get your sound bites and you can post on Instagram or you can post a Facebook reel of whatever. And it's the same way in churches. You know, you see a lot of times you'll see these guys posting these really short, it'll sound brilliant. But then you listen to the context of it and it's nonsense. And what's going on is behind the scenes in that church, there are things happening that you don't want to happen. You need to be involved in you need to be more aware of the trick. And that's the trick. The political circus is the trick. They know what they're going to do. It's almost like a very well-staged play. They know what's going to happen when they go in there. They know they're going to yell and carry on and try to, and we fall for it. And we go, oh, this is very passionate. No, she's not. She's getting a big fat check and she's getting rich on your dime. And you're laughing and agreeing with the nonsense that comes out of her mouth or his mouth or whoever's mouth. It's not man or woman or old or young. It's just utter vomited ridiculousness that we're getting around. And it's a part of the problem with disagreement is people have adopted that is what healthy debate is. Well, no, it's not at all healthy debate. The last healthy debate I think I saw on television was Reagan and Mondale. And that was a healthy debate, you know?
So here's some examples that you can use. Okay. I've said this and I've tried to adopt this a lot because I want to make sure that whoever I'm talking to understands that I don't think I know everything.
Yeah.
And so I usually say something like, let me know if I'm off track here and I explain how I'm seeing things. Or yeah. I say, I could be wrong. Here's how I'm seeing this, or I or reiterate something or whatever, but I always point to the thing like I'm asking them and giving them permission
to tell me I'm wrong,
to clarify what I'm saying. And it's usually to clarify their stance on something.
What I'll say is help me clear up my understanding.
Exactly.
And then I'll say something. And if that's an opportunity for them to be like, no, that's not what I meant. Or yeah, but I want you to, take this into.
Yeah.
You know.
Before I respond, can I tell you what I interpret what you mean? Mm-hmm. What I think you mean, or something like that. Yeah. It's okay to probably say, look, this idea, this topic matters to me. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to lose your friendship while we talk about it.
Yeah.
It's okay to kind of state that too.
I don't want to hurt our relationship by discussing this.
Yeah. The one that is the sometimes doesn't work, but I do say this. If it feels like you're just looping and looping,
yeah, you're
and
on looping. You're on the merry-go-round.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, I usually say, you know what?
Let's put a pin in it.
Yep. Put a pin in this. Let's come back to it later or not.
And something you said earlier is a key. Let them know that you understand that this is important to them. Like, we have a tendency to be dismissive when we think we're right. So, you know, it's very helpful to look at someone and go, I get that this is very important to you. So I want to make sure we're clear. Right.
And there's some issues where, here's one, right? When we talk about our kids' safety, they're pretty much the vast majority,
90%, I would say,
would have the same central consideration.
Yeah.
It's the safety of the kids.
Yeah.
They all have this. That's it. I mean, look, we all pretty much agree about that. It's just how you get there. So, yeah. So instead of calling this, I mean, you got to just understand that, look, this matters to you. It matters to me. And how we get there is what we're talking about. It's not, I don't want, I know you help the kids, but you also have to acknowledge that's where I'm at too. If you disagree on something, right? And that helps set the field to where it's not just builds up into this, you know, rare, you know.
And also know that Chicken Little, it's not always a Chicken Little situation either. Like, if you had 10 people in a room and one guy is just screaming at the top of his lungs that the sky is falling, go check and see if the sky is falling. Just make sure. But once you realize the sky's not falling, then assess how to address that situation. There's such a tendency of everyone to make everything life or death. I like to be really clear in the beginning of any longer conversation where I think there might be some debate, is to kind of speak the deftness and the heft of the conversation. This is a pretty heavy subject, so we're going to need a minute, right? Or, yeah, I mean, I'll talk about this, but this is not the end all be all, and I'm not going to go home and change my religion because of it, right? Like, it's just a conversation, and you need to gauge that too, because again, everybody's perception is different. So when you're talking about something and this person's talking about something, like you said earlier, to the person on the right, it might be an end of the world kind of subject. To the person on the left, it might not mean anything. And that, all of that depends on the stages of life that you're in. You know, young people don't really have a whole lot to lose. They're taking care of themselves. They're really, you know, I was a Democrat for a long time until I got married and had kids. And then I realized that it wasn't the party that was going to take care of my family. And I switched my affiliation. There's nothing wrong with that either. Sometimes you have a realization, right? That things are not the way they should be. Sometimes the veil comes off and you see what's happening. But also, you know, take into consideration who you're debating with. If I'm debating with somebody who's 20 years old, I'm going to be like, all right, what's their life experience? Have they ever lived on their own? Have they ever had a job where they had to pay taxes? Do they have any kids? Are they married? All those things I'll weigh into that debate if I'm having it, right? And that's why I don't get really out of control with younger people, because I'm like, you don't really have a whole lot of life experience to back that up, right? If you're an older person, you have kids and you've had life experience and some things have happened, I'm going to approach that conversation very differently. But here's the one thing I would encourage everybody through all this, talking about this, you know, the goal should always be, it should always be civil discourse. It should always be the goal. If you're going into a situation and your intent is not to have a civil discourse about a subject, it's probably not going to go well. So that doesn't mean that it won't get heated or more heightened at certain moments, but always remember that don't assume the person across from you is your enemy because of an opinion that they hold.
Right. And also, too, if you're a Christian, then the goal should be to glorify Christ, not above all everything else.
So and there's a lot of people that, you know, I've had opinions before that were based on misinformation.
Sure.
And then when I learned that that's misinformation, I changed that opinion.
There's a lot of it, dude.
And there's a lot of misinformation out there. This thing that we look at all the time, it has just as much misinformation as it has good information.
Yeah, even AI, right? Yeah. I mean, let me caution you about this, too. AI is trained by what it can read or whatever and have access to and all this kind of stuff. So if it's just going out there and let's say it's latched on to a bunch of New York Times stuff or—
It's going to feed that back to you.
MSN and all this, you know, then what's it going to do? It's going to come back to that. It might have a little short blurb about saying, but some people have said, you know, but and that's when you have to, this is all about investigation and what you have to do anymore in order to find the truth of things and where it's grounded in.
Well, and also realize that AI is very specific. It will give you specifically what you ask for.
Well, that's what, the prompts are very, very critical with AI. They're critical because you have to tell it, not only you have to give it like guidelines about kind of here's what I'm looking for, how to validate it, you really have to go in depth about things if you want it to really give you some right stuff. It's not just a thing where you can go, hey, what do you think about this? And it'll give you an answer. And sometimes that's okay. But boy, if your question you're answering has all these different branches and all this thing, the more detailed you can be and the more concise you can tell it to be is the better. I mean, because it's actually so critical for you to get the right. Anyway, that's a little bit. So I just want to say this. There is definite reasons to end the conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about insults. Look, if somebody starts throwing insults, it's done. That's it.
Yeah.
It's done. Bad faith.
Don't be a clown.
It's done. if it's kind of looking like there's no shared goal that you're really aiming for, it's just it's stupid. I mean, this is the thing, and especially online, most of the time, there's no shared goal. You don't know anything about where it's good faith or bad faith from the other person. No idea. So, I mean, come on.
Or if it becomes a perfect circle and you're just doing this.
Yeah.
Like and nothing, and you're not finding anything outside of that point that you can't agree on, and you're just spinning on it. Just let it go.
So again, you know, if you're a Christian person and you're going into a thing before you engage, I definitely pray about it first. It doesn't have to be a long prayer or anything. Just give a little prayer. Do the thing. How important is it? How certain is it? And kind of go by that. And where does that line you up as far as like how you're going to engage and, you know, how long you would engage or whatever. Seek unity in the whole exchange. Don't look for just winning an argument, but, you know, where can you really align?
In the argument civilly. Hey, I really appreciate you listening to me, and I really appreciate you communicating your side to me. And I thank you for having this conversation, and I'm looking forward to the next one, right? And shake hands or hug or whatever it is you do.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't – because – or even at the end be like, you know what, I really like to get back to this because I feel like there's more to talk about, and I appreciate it, right? Because a lot of times I want to continue the discussion, but I need to go do some research, right?
True.
I mean, there's – at the end of the day – we're all trying to live together and be good people and take care of each other. Most of us anyway. I believe that 90% of the world is still looking to be kind to each other. And I mean, and you know, for listeners, try one of the 5 habits this week. And if you want to, post and tell us what it changed in the conversation. You know, pick your poison, right?
There you go.
Pick the one you want to do. But anyway, I think that's all already, right?
That will wrap up our how to disagree without disengaging.
That wraps up how to have an argument without tweaking each other's noses.
Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook. We don't really post a lot, but
that's okay. But
you can get a hold of us there.
Yeah, you can actually reach out on Facebook Messenger. We will respond. But whatever you do, have a great week.
This is R&B Talks.
I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.